Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining us. Know that you are loved and appreciated, and we are glad that you are tuning in on tonight for those that's listening live in the studio and for those that's listening via the internet. We want to say welcome. I am excited about tonight's show. I tell you, I am so excited because up to the, as they said, the 12th hour, I was not sure how God was going to unravel this thing. And, oh, my goodness, I tell you, it was just it was a challenge. But I tell you, he is faithful. He is faithful, and he worked it out, and I just thank God. And so I have a special guest, co-host, that's going to be co-hosting with me on tonight, and I'm excited about that because as we studied and spoke about tonight's subject, we were able to come with from two different perspectives, but it was so funny because we came from two different perspectives and somehow we met up in the middle and it was dynamic. The spirit was flowing and we're excited because we honestly believe that someone listening in on tonight will have a better understanding what they may be experiencing, what they may be going through. And I believe this is going to help. I believe this is going to help you get through the holiday blues, because I tell you, I've always experienced the holiday blues. I actually, I won't say hate, that's a strong term, but I dislike Christmas. And it's a big deal for my family because we come together, we have a lot of traditions that we built, but I really don't like Christmas. And I'll tell you, you'll find out later on in the show why I did not like Christmas. So what I want to do is take a moment to welcome my special guest, my special host tonight. So he's my guest host tonight. JD, are you in the studio?
Yes, ma'am. I am in the studio still getting set up over here, but I am here. How you doing, Coach D?
Well, I am great. We got Coach JD, and I'm sure he has his honey bun next to him, Coach Myra. And they're going to be, like I said, special guest hosting with me on tonight regarding this subject. For those tuning in, the subject tonight is healing the holiday blues. Healing the holiday blues. And I tell you, just virtually, if I could just get a show of hands, how many people during this season find themselves getting into this funk, getting into this depression or funk or sadness? I just hate to see this holiday come. I mean, some people just really embrace it and they enjoy it. Some people understand the true meaning of it and they embrace that. Others have gotten caught up in the Xmas of it, where it's buy, 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 get, spend, spend, spend. And then you got those other percentage of people that's just depressed. They hate that it's here. They don't even want to do anything with it. And we're going to talk to those people on tonight. We're going to help you try to understand why you get to where you're at during this season. And we want to let you know that you're okay and that you're going to be okay and you can get through this season. And we want to give you some hope on tonight. Amen, JD? So anyway.
Amen.
So
I'm sorry.
I tell you. So what I want to start off, and I'm going to present a case to you. And, J.D., please feel free to step in at any time. But one of the things I want to share with you all tonight, that if you have experienced depression or some type of feelings that are not necessarily positive feelings about the about this time of the year, this holiday, first of all, I want you to know that there is a disorder called seasonal affective disorder. Yes, it's acronyms are SAD, S-A-D, and it is a real disorder. Now, here are some of the naysayers, and that's just the devil, or you're stronger than that, snap out of it, or I'll keep you in prayer. And even though they're saying that with great intentions, the problem with that is that oftentimes those phrases don't help someone that's going through something like this, because most people don't take it serious if they haven't been through it. And so they want to, with good intentions, tell you how to come out of it. But we're going to help you try to come out of it by not just telling you a cute phrase of it's the devil. It's not the devil. We're not going to tell you a cute little quick fix of I'll keep you in prayer. Prayer works, and prayer is always needed. But we can't just keep telling people I'll keep you in prayer, and then once we say that, we walk away and never minister to the person in the need, never take the time to sit down and talk to them, but we'll shoot you a quick prayer. That's not going to work. And we don't want – these people are getting tired of hearing people say you're stronger than that. Pull out of it. Who wants to hear that when they're going through something and the only thing somebody could do to encourage them is tell them they're stronger than that? So we want to deal with the root of this thing. And so the first thing that we determined is this. Winner. What is winner? What does winner represent? When we look around us in the natural, let's just talk about the natural right now. When we look around us in the natural, what does the season of winter represent? And I'm going to step back for a minute and see if JD want to kick into here, because he brought up some valid points about winter. And so, JD, can you just kind of go in a little bit? What does winter, what is the winter?
Well, you know, with winter, everybody looks at winter, especially places like Omaha, Nebraska, or my hometown, St. Louis, all those places that get snow. And if you're here in California, you may look at that in Big Bear, or you see it on television, and it's all beautiful, it's pretty, and oh, look at the snow, look at the snow. But if you really look at winter, it really does have a representation of death. If you look at the leaves on the trees are gone, the flowers are all gone and wilted away, they're dying, they're dead. Animals are now going into hibernation with like bears and different things like that. So you have, it's really a representation of really just death until spring comes back alive. And when you get spring, that's when you start to see the flowers are blooming and the trees are getting their leaves again. And that represents life. Now you mentioned something, Coach D, you had something, and I pray I'm not skipping ahead of you, but when we spoke earlier, you were talking about, you were reading something, and what you were reading, you and I both came up with some things that were represented winter to real life. I don't know if you have that in front of you or if you remember what I'm talking about.
Yes, I have what it's saying is the characteristics of winter. The winter season generally starts at the beginning of December and ends in late February or early March. It usually snows during the winter, especially in regions where freezing temperatures are common. Cold rain is also common during the winter. January and February are usually the coldest winter months. However, they're stating, and this has been a scientific study, is that winter depression most often starts from October to March or April, and you made some valid points because you were stating that from October to about March or April is a series of expenses as it pertains to holidays that get people caught up and captured and in depression alone just because of the amount of money that's spent from October to April.
That's right. We spoke about that. I remember, you know, I actually mentioned that before you read that. So, you know, I'm not doing any kind of scientific thoughts or anything like that. But when I spoke that and then later on you read that, that just shows you the truth of it when it comes to experience. You look at that for those of you that, and this is no judgment on anybody, so please hear my heart. This is no judgment on anybody. But this is just so you can really see where your money goes, where your depression goes, and all of that. So you look at coming up in October, those of you that celebrate Halloween, you have money for the costumes. You have money for the makeup. And that's just for the adults. Then you go to the children. You got money for the costumes. You have money for the makeup. You have money for the candy, the Halloween parties. All of that takes money. Now, it may not seem all that doesn't take all that kind of money. Well, some of you can look at your receipts right now and see how much your Superman costume costs, how much your Elsa costume costs. It wasn't cheap. So you got all of that stuff. Then you go into the next month, which is Thanksgiving, which that's November. The money for the food and how much it costs. The money for, because even if you're not cooking at your own house, you know, a lot of people, they want to bring something so they don't feel left out or as if they didn't contribute. So what do? They go out and spend a lot of money on food. You know, they, because a rack of lamb, what, it costs about $30? So that money there for Thanksgiving. Now, pause right there. Also, you have Black Friday. But just like last year, they'll have Black Thursday. So once you get done eating all your Thanksgiving fixings, now you're going out for Black Thursday, Black Friday, Black Saturday, and come in praising the Lord on Light Sunday. And so all of that money that you have spent, and you're spending money for the Black Friday and Thursday and all of that for Christmas, now that you've gotten all your holiday shopping done, woo, praise the Lord, hallelujah, then comes December, and you remember all of those other people who may get you something, the Secret Santa thing at work or with your family, and now you're going by to spend some more money when it comes to Christmas. And those of you that keep going until you're late birds, until you go to Christmas Eve, now you buying money, now you buying gifts for them on Christmas Eve. Now you come out of Christmas, and then you're going into what? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Happy New Year. You're going to New Year's parties. You're going to, you know, you're buying certain drinks, apple cider vinegar, for those of you that partake like that. But you're spending money on parties and different drinks and different foods all for the New Year's. Then the next month comes over. Then you got Cupid and the arrow, bing, hitting you. That's Valentine's Day. And those of you that have a sookie, you want to do something for your Valentine. Especially, you know, even with men, just speaking to all the men that's on the call, if you don't have a sookie, you want to impress a young lady, so you'll take her out for Valentine's Day, spending money you really don't have, but you're trying to act like you do. I'm a man, I get it. Ladies, you can do the same thing. So you're spending money even in February. Now, here comes March. Woo! Unless you got somebody whose birthday that month, you can finally take a breather. But then comes April, those of you that celebrate Easter or there are those that will call it Resurrection Day, you're spending money on clothes. And let's be honest, you know, you got a lot of people out there that's not going to church unless it's a funeral, Christmas, or Resurrection Day. Let's just be honest. So you're spending a lot of money on some fitted clothes, and you're spending money on food and getting the family together all for that day, which is in April. And the last part is this. Not to mention, on all of those days, you'll find people paying for plane tickets to fly out of town to visit family. So that's another cost. And all of that winds up in leading into this seasonal depression. And I could go further on, but I want Coach G to step in here, because I pray I didn't go off your subject there.
No, absolutely. You broke it down as one of the reasons why people could definitely go through a depression when you speak about the finances that's involved. We spoke about so far two things that are definitely contributing factors to some of us that experience this holiday depression. And as you spoke about the money portion, I'm going to stay there for a minute because we got three factors here that contribute. It may be others, but we're going to focus on three. The first one I talked about was winter. And the reason why I explained to you what winter was and the definition of winter, because I wanted you to understand that there is a natural inclination in your body that responds to winter. You know, we think about animals that hibernate during the winter. And when you think about hibernation, a lot of times we're thinking about animals and stuff that are asleep. But actually, hibernation is a process. And what that process is basically a state of inactivity. And when your metabolism or a metabolic depression in the endotherms. So hibernation refers to a season of heterothermia that is characterized by low body temperature, slow breathing, and heart rate. So a low metabolic rate. And so that's not just in animals. That takes place in our bodies as well. We begin to, if you think about it, most people during the winter months is when they become the chunkiest, when they gain their most weight, when they're their heaviest, is during the winter months. Oftentimes, just on the simple fact that if it's cold outside, none of us are wanting to go outside. We're not trying to go outside and jog or walk, or we don't do outside activities. We don't hang out at the park during the winter because it's cold. So when it's cold, we're not. We find ourselves being more prone to hurrying up to get home. We want to get into the warmth. We don't want to be in the cold. And so that's natural. That's a natural thing for your body to automatically begin to adjust to the winter months. So it's a depressed, as Coach JD said before, you know, it represents death. It's a slowing. You don't do anything in the winter. Ain't nothing going on in the winter, you know, so to say. Not just in the natural and in the spiritual. There's a winter. And it's not by accident that even in the word, everything is based on season. Ecclesiastic tells us about seasons. And so God was purposed when he created seasons. And so when we see the seasons in the natural, you better believe that the seasons happen the same way in the spiritual. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the spiritual and the natural, the spiritual lines up to the natural seasons, but it just wants you to know that there is, your body, your mind goes through something different in those colder winter months. And so that was the first thing we were dealing with. Then we got to the money part. The money part is about the spending. And then that brings me back to what I was sharing with you earlier in the show when I said, I don't like Christmas. Now, I'm going to change. Tonight's show is going to change. It may not change someone that's listening in, but it's going to change me. It's going to give me a paradigm shift, and I'm going to begin to like Christmas, because I'm going to do some things that I'm going to ask you to do if you're struggling with this. But the reason, one of the things I was sharing is that I didn't like Christmas. Christmas for me was oh my gosh, I hated to see Christmas coming. To me, it was overwhelming for me. I would go into this depression. I would become emotional, where I'm just emotional at anything, kind of, you know, teary, and I just didn't understand. And so as I began to, you know, and it started like right as I became an adult and I had to be responsible probably for buying gifts, I just started with going to this depression. Yes, I would smile. Yes, I would go around my family. Yes, I would participate in the activities, but I dreaded it. It was the most dreaded holiday for me, and I would push myself to it. And every year, even up to this year, I would say, I'm not going to buy gifts. I'm not going to get caught up in that. I just want to enjoy my family. And then the day before Christmas, I would be out in the stores, running around, hectic, stressed out, anxiety, trying to get gifts for my family, because I wanted to get gifts for them, but I couldn't deal with the process of it all. And so what I started finding is that as I sat down and thought about it, is what is it about Christmas that I didn't like? What was it about Christmas that had me so anxious? And what I didn't like was the commercialization of Christmas. I didn't like feeling obligated and forced. I felt like I was being forced to go buy presents, and I didn't like that. Why I didn't like that? Because even in the natural, I'm a giver in the natural. So in the natural, I'm a giver. But I don't like to be forced to have to give. And Christmas represented that to me. It represented the obligation. And I would even hear people say, that's not the way you're supposed to look at it. I just enjoy giving. I enjoy watching people opening the presents. And just don't look at it like that. But see, that's hard because who you are is who you are. And so in the natural, before the holiday, if I'm a type of person where I'm giving and I like to give and I like to do for other people, but I don't like to feel forced to have to do it. And then here comes this holiday. Well, what this holiday represented to me is me now being pushed and feeling obligated and being forced to do something for somebody. And that would, it would cause me to shut down. And so now that I begin to understand that, the next question I had to ask myself is, what does Christmas really mean to me? What does it really mean to me? Not what it means to my sibling, not what it means to my parent, not what it means to my children, but what does it really mean to me? And when I identify what it really meant to me, then I had to make a decision. Am I going to embrace what it means to me, or am I going to continue to be obligated to embrace what it means to somebody else? And so that's what you have to do. And I know when I say this, I pick up in my spirit that there are people listening in that can relate to what I'm saying. And maybe you've never been able to share that because you didn't want people to think that you were crazy, or maybe you're selfish, or why are you doing this? But I know that somebody else is experiencing that. And so I would tell you, what does Christmas really mean to you? Is it really about gift giving? Is that the one time of the year that you could give gifts and it makes you feel good? Because if it does, then it's not an anxiety for you. It's okay for you. But if that's not the true meaning of it for you, then maybe you need to identify what the true meaning is. For some of us, Christmas is symbolic for a risen Savior, the birth of our risen Savior, Christ. You know, that's what Christmas represents for many of us. And so if that be the case, then how do you want to celebrate Christmas? Does Christmas just want to be where you gather with those that you love and you celebrate the birth of Christ and you just, you know, festive, it become a festive type of thing where it's just really about enjoying each other or not? So that's another thing you want to identify. What does it really mean to you? And do you, and if anxiety, if spending the money and doing all these things is really what's creating your depression or creating your anxiety, then you really have to be okay with it. You have to be okay with making the decision that that's not what you want to do. But then that means you're going to have to also be okay with other people that like doing it. And then you got to get yourself to a point of realizing that when other people like giving gifts, you got to be okay with if you don't get any gifts, A, or you have to be okay with that if you get gifts, to be able to receive them humbly without this feeling of obligation. Because some of us go through the part of feeling like, oh, my gosh, now I got to go out and buy a gift because such and such is going to give me a gift and such and such is going to give me a gift and I don't want to owe nobody nothing. So now I got to go out and buy gifts because I don't want somebody to give me a gift and I can't give them back a gift. I know some people say, I don't get that. But people go through that kind of anxiety. People go through those kind of things. And so when these people, and it's real to the people that's going through it. And so if this is you and these are the things, that the thought process that you go through during this time, then you have to deal with you and you have to stop and you have to really begin to process. Why do I feel like this? What does it mean to me? And then begin to embrace what it means to you and what you want that to look like. And then be okay with it, regardless of what other people think. You have to be okay with the decision you make for you. If that's what's going to help you get through where you're not going through under this extreme amount of pressure and stress, you got to come up and be able to work through what works for you. Then the third thing we were looking at, and JD, I'm going to bring you back in, but the third, and we do also have a caller, so I'm coming to you. The third point, we're not going to skip around, but I just wanted to let you know what the third point. So the first point was the winter and the chemistry balance that plays on our mind and our body. The second thing was finances and the obligation of the process. And then the third thing that we were going to be dealing with was JD. I just went blank.
Yes, ma'am.
We had a third thing, so we had the season of it all, we had the finances of it all, and then the last thing that we were going to be focusing on was the, and I just lost my train of thought.
The one that we talked about, you were comparing the season with the spiritual. Oh, no, you remember we talked. Oh. I'm sorry, the physical with the spiritual. So we had the season and how it correlated with the physical and the spiritual.
Okay, perfect. Okay, I'm going to do this really quickly. We have a caller.
Hello, caller.
Caller, you have a lot of background noise and you dial one. Did you have a question? Okay. Okay, I guess they didn't have a question, so I'm going to come back. So, but I think that still had to do with the winter. So we're going to go ahead and talk a little bit more about the winter months and some of the things that you know, that we face as it pertains to there was a study that was done in reference to SAD, seasonal attentive disorder, and the percentages were overwhelming. Because we think, oh, I just go through this, or a couple of people just go through this, but there, it was they did a study, and do you know that it was 85% of the people in the study, and I mean 85, we think, when we hear the number 85%, it sounds big, but 85%, it could only have been 10 people that did the study, you know what I'm saying? So, but it was but to correct that, it was 128 people that they did the study on, and 85% of that 128 has some form of SAD, SAD. And then out of that 85%, 73% was out of the 85%, 12% of the 85 had some type of manic depressive behavior. So, you know, that which could have contributed to the SAD. So that's a small percentage when you think 128 people, 85% of them have some form of SAD or some type of seasonal depression or winter depression, and then out of the 85%, 12% of them had the symptoms of manic, and if you know, manic depressive or some type of other mental illness that contribute to it. And then it went on to say that 16% actually had this obsessive increase for cravings, such as fatty foods, craving for carbohydrates, carbs. So it's an increase in the body in that time of the season that, you know, so your body, and I'm saying this because I want you to understand, when you're going through this and you get to this season and you think it's just about Christmas, it's not just about Christmas. There is some for sure physical things that's taking place in your body that's going to cause your thinking to shift. It's going to cause your emotions to shift. And if you're not careful, it's going to hold you in emotional hostage. You'll become an emotional hostage to these feelings, to this chemistry, this thing that's going on within your body during this time. And so, and JD, I'm gonna let you go a little deeper about the, you know, emotional hostage versus the physical hostage.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, as we talked about earlier, is that when you said that you hated the day because it, you know, you felt like you needed to get someone something. You felt like, you know, all this anxiety that I don't want to do it, you know. And can I tell them about what you said when people ask you for something? Is that okay or?
No.
Or do you want me? You want me to go out? Okay.
No,
okay, I got it. No. If that, because, you know, hey, that's why I asked. So, you know, it's up to you. I'll tell you what, I'm going to go around it, and I'll make it flow. I'll make it flow. So there are a lot of people out there right now who feel, okay, I'm stressed out about, you know, Christmas. Let's just stick with this holiday. I'm stressed out about this day. Well, why is that? Because you got a lot of months and a little money in the bank, and you're trying to work extra hours. So that's stressing you out, and you're having to go through this process of, you know, well, I don't really want to celebrate the day because I don't want to spend this money for it. I just want to be with my family. I just want to celebrate the birth of our Savior. You know, I could celebrate you throughout the year, but it almost becomes like an obligation when it comes with this holiday that, well, I know so-and-so, so-and-so, cousin, so-and-so is going to give me something. Mama, daddy's going to give me something. All these people are going to give me something. So I have to show up and give them something. And whatever I give them, with the little finances that I have, whether it be little or a lot, but the finances that I have, whatever I give them, I want them to actually like it. So just because I give you something, now comes the fact, do you like it? And, you know, as an adult, we know how to hide stuff. Oh, thank you. Somebody has to really know you to see if you like it or not. But with children, you know, with children, they'll tell you the truth, whether it's actually telling it to you or they'll tell it to you through their wordless words. You'll see it on their faces. Oh, thank you, auntie. Oh, thank you, mommy. Thank you, daddy. Ooh, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, you see, you hear their voices, you see their faces, and that just, it hurts you when it happens. It hurts you to know that, okay, the gift that I didn't have the money to really get you in the first place, so I'm hurt for the fact that I don't have the money to give to you in the first place. Secondly, I'm hurt because the money I did spend on this, I should have paid a bill with, my electricity bill, and those of you that have lights on your house, hello, you know, or my mortgage or my rent. Ooh, my goodness. So I'm hurt by that. And then for me to give you this gift, I spend my hard-earned money on, and for you to not like it, that hurts me too, because that says that I didn't make you happy or my gift was terrible. So now it makes me feel like I'm not a good gift giver or I'm bad as a person. Or, oh, my goodness, did I hurt this person's feelings? And that's when we come by and we always say, here's a gift receipt. Take it back if you don't want it. And a lot of us, when you say that, you really don't mean that. You don't want nobody taking back your gift, and you don't want your gift to become somebody else's gift next year. You know you don't want it. That's why they have these contests with ugly Christmas sweaters. I don't know where it came from, but I can venture, if I had to take a wild guess, it came from people giving ugly Christmas sweaters that they thought was cute. So now it's become a big thing now. So with that, you are now, but see, the reason why you went through all of that is because you felt like you had to do it. And so what Coach D and I discovered was that you've just now become a slave to the holiday. You've become a prisoner to this holiday. We talked about a hostage at first. We said that you become a hostage to the holiday. No more can you deserve it, enjoy it. You have now become a hostage. But what's the difference between a hostage in the physical and a hostage in the spiritual? See, a hostage in the physical, if they have somebody that's a hostage, they can always look for a way out that's physical. I can see an open door over there. I can see an open window. As soon as this person turns their back, I can at least jet for it. Or as soon as they go to sleep, I can run away from it. Or somebody from the outside can come inside and now help me, whether it be the police or some hero or some shero can come in and they'll help to rescue me from this hostage. And once I break away from the hostage, they arrest the hostage, or, you know, the hostage gets killed or whatever may happen. I mean, not the hostage, but the person keeping the person hostage. They take that criminal, put them in jail, and I don't have that much to worry about because justice has now been served. I'm fine. I'm free from that situation. Yay. But the difference with the spiritual hostage is that on the physical hostage, it's from the outside. The spiritual hostage is in the inside, and you're the only one that can deal with it. You're the only one that can deal with it. It doesn't matter how many times mommy, daddy, sister, cousin, brother, friend say, I'm going to pray for you. That's okay. Don't worry about that. You're stronger than that, like Coach D said. It doesn't matter how many times they say it. Until you recognize that you're a hostage, you will never be free. And let me go back to what I said before. Until you recognize that you are a slave, you will never be free. And we talked about how Harriet Tubman said that how she, and I'm paraphrasing, how she freed thousands of slaves, but she could have freed thousands more had they only known that they were slaves. Had they only known that they were slaves. You had a lot of them that, and you go into the spiritual world. Unless you know that you're a slave to what other people think, unless you know that you're a slave to the commercials that come on and say you need to buy this, get this, and get that, the commercialization of it, until you recognize that you are a slave to it, you'll never be free. No matter how many times you say, I'm not a slave to it, yes, you are. And until you recognize it, you'll never be free. Let's look at the correlation with that. When it came to, even with Harriet Tubman, she freed all these people. You would think that those that didn't know they were slaves, they should have known. Masters whooping your back and, you know, beating you and all these cutting off things and all these terrible things. But what they see is, well, I got, you know, I got a roof over my head. I got a meal every day. I got clothes on my back. What's better than this? If I leave here, I'm going to have to do everything by myself. See, freedom comes with a cost. It's not always that easy, quote unquote, to just be free. But freedom comes with a cost. And so those that go into and they grow up in that lifestyle of being a slave, then all they'll think about, well, slavery, that's just how life is. So I'm not really a slave. I'm just in this culture. And this is my culture and my authority. That's why I don't recognize physically that I'm a slave. Well, it's the same thing in the spiritual. You've grown up with this culturally. Mommy and daddy went out and got gifts, and or Santa brought me gifts. You know, my mentor talks about how he had a little paper chimney taped to the wall, and he could tell you he will wrestle you up and down about Santa Claus came through his plastic chimney wall, a piece of paper. He will tell you up and down that, hey, Santa Claus comes out of there. But that's what he believed. And it's the same thing when it comes to what you believe when it comes to the holiday and you buying things and getting stressed. You truly believe that this is supposed to be a part of your life. You truly believe that this is supposed to be a part of you. It has now become you. So that stress didn't just come on you. You have now become the stress. You have now become the I have to get the gifts giver. That's who you have now become. And you become a slave to that. It has changed your name from Christian to X-Men. So instead of you celebrating the birth of your Savior, you're celebrating how many gifts you can get and how many pats on your back that you can get. That has become more important to you than the birth of your Savior. Just something to think about. But until, and I'll end it with this, but until you can actually recognize that you are a slave to that way of thinking, you will never, ever be free.
Woo! Amen. That was a good word. Good word. So we've dealt with, for some of those that's tuning in on tonight's show, the topic matter is healed for the holidays. We're talking about many people. We're talking a large percentage of people that's faced with depression or what we know as holiday blues. There is a name for that. It's called SAD. The acronyms are SAD, and it stands for Seasonal Affective Disorder. Now, I don't want to give people a tag, so now you can walk around saying I have SAD, because I noticed that we have to be careful of the tags that we're willing to accept. But I also want people to know who don't deal with it that it's a real feeling. It's a real emotion. It's real enough that it could physically affect the body, if it, depending on how drastic it gets. It's so real that people have felt so hopeless that they have taken their lives. Do you know that the suicide rate during this time of the year is at an all-time high? And then, you know, some of us sit back and we say, oh, well, who would commit suicide? I mean, I would never think that I would ever want to commit suicide. I don't have that thought, but I'm not saying, but that what I'm saying is it's happening. People are committing suicide because they can't deal with depression. So we talked about the winter months, this part of the year, that this depression, that this rate of suicide heightens. We talked about the winter months and what it does to our anatomy, mentally, physically. Then we talked about financially. So now we're dealing with a physical thing. We're dealing with a financial thing. Now, the other thing that people deal with this time of the year is loss. The third thing is loss. And what do I mean by loss? If this holiday, and we're speaking about this season of winter, Christmas, so let's call it what it is, Christmas, New Year, but Christmas. If this holiday is one of the most important, and we've already determined that Christmas is one of the most important holidays to people. Out of all the holidays that come up, Christmas is probably at the top of the list. It's major. I mean, society, the stores are making millions and millions and millions of dollars during this season. Families come together. They share times together during the season. There's a lot of laughter. There's a lot of love going forth. There's a lot of festivities that's going on during this season. So those things are shared with family and close friends. So where does the depression or loss come about? Well, if you lose a family member, a spouse, a parent, a sibling, a child, during this, not during this season, you could have lost them earlier in the year or in the middle of the year. But those were people that you shared this holiday with. Those were people that made your holiday complete. Those are people that you laughed with, that you cried with, these are those people. So when it's natural that when this season comes, but I want you to understand something, because people get depressed and say, I lost my mom 2 years ago, and every time Christmas come around, I get depressed. Well, guess what? You don't just get depressed around Christmas. You get depressed around Easter. You're going to get depressed around Mother's Day. You're going to get depressed just on general days because that was your mother. And so there's going to be a spirit of loss that come upon you at various times. It could be a spirit that stay with you, or it could be a spirit that come upon you at certain times where you just want to pick up the phone and you want to call, and that person's not there. So what I'm saying that to say is that I don't want you to associate the grievance of loss with the holiday season of Christmas. Because believe it or not, unless you've lost somebody on Christmas or around Christmas, one doesn't have anything to do with the other. But what we do is have a tendency to lump everything in. The season, it's Christmas. It's the time that I used to celebrate with this person. Now they're not here. And so we'll make it about my depression has to do with Christmas because now I'm missing this person. But the reality of it is that you're grieving, and you're still grieving, and it won't matter what holiday that is, you're going to still be grieving that the loss of that person. So we're saying all these things to say is because we're just trying to help you to understand that if you're going through this, you really can get through this. You really could get through this because we hit on three key points. The winner. Understanding, just knowing, it would be like just knowing that the winter is coming, knowing that there's going to be some transitions, some changes in your metabolism rate, that you're going to start slowing down, that you're going to probably start craving certain foods, that there's a season of winter, everything's dead, or at least it appears to be dead. But I want you to be encouraged, because even though in the winter it appears to be dead, up underground there's life. There's some things going on unbeknownst to us by the natural eye. There are some things that's going on that's positive. There is really life. Even though on the surface it looks dead, the snow, the ice, the cold, the trees are barren, there are some things going on underground that are positive, that are life. And that's what we begin to see when spring hit. It springs up. And so I want you to be encouraged that winter don't last always. When it comes, don't let it hit you by surprise. Know that it's winter. Okay, it's winter. So now that I know it's winter, let me just prepare for winter. Let me put on my coat. Let me put on my gloves. Let me put on my hat. Let me stay warm. Let me cut on my heater. Let me prepare knowing that this is not a lot going on. There's not going to be a lot of activity. There may not be a lot of bright lights and pretty flowers. And just know that this season, too, will change. Ecclesiastics tell us it's going to change. It's not going to last always. And if we could get to a point of understanding what winter brings for us, then we could get to a point of understanding that I don't have to go into a deep depression. I could understand that this is winter. And so maybe even what I feel like is a depression really is not a depression at all. So now I could chalk it up as this is just winter, I'm going to get through it, and spring will be here soon. Versus, oh, I'm depressed, I can't, you know, I'm at wit's end, I'm anxiety, I'm stressed out, I just want to just go somewhere and die. No, we don't have to do that no more because we know it's winter. And it's okay if you're not producing anything right now during the season. It's okay if you just need to sit down and be still. It's okay, and that's what we want you to know tonight. The second thing is the money thing. If you don't have it, don't spend it. Don't get yourself in debt and all stressed out about gift giving. If you could do it, great. But do it not because of other people. Do it because it makes you happy to do it. Do it because you want to do it and it makes you happy to do it. But don't do it if you got to have regrets. Don't do it if you know tomorrow you're not going to be able to pay your mortgage or your light bill or your car note. Don't do it because and then afterwards you're depressed because you knew you shouldn't have or you know that you didn't want to. It's okay if you don't want to. And then you can't, but you got to accept the fact that you don't want to, and you got to be okay that you don't want to, and not let anything or anyone else make you feel like you're obligated to. So accept that. The second thing is know, identify what Christmas means to you. What does it mean to you? And once you identify that, then stick with it. That's your story, and stick with it. And then the third thing is the loss. Anytime we lose someone that's close to us, it don't take Christmas for us to be sad. Coach JD, can you go mute? It doesn't take Christmas for us to be sad, and it doesn't take. We're gonna have moments of sadness anytime we have a severe loss. Anytime we lose a parent or a spouse or a child, a loved one, we're gonna have moments where we have memories about them, and those memories, even though they're good memories, they're going to bring up a loss. We're going to feel a void. And anytime there's a void, there's sadness. And so that's going to happen all throughout the year. It doesn't take Christmas for that to happen. So now you could disassociate your sadness because of the loss with the Christmas holiday. And then the other thing I would like to do, as we're closing out, we're coming towards the end of our show, I want to give you some scriptures. You guys already know that Coach D, I'm going to talk about real things, and I'm going to talk about some statistics and scientific facts and different things that I'm going to bring because I like to be able to bring some stats. But I'm also going to close it out. I'm always going to bring a balance because I know at the end of the day that no matter whatever we go through, and I don't want to be super-duper spiritual or super-duper religious, but what I want to say to us is that no matter what we go through in life, when we are vertically connected, and you guys hear me say this just about every show, when you are vertically connected, it makes going through a lot more easier. There's some things that us being human in our humanity, we're going to go through. There's some things in our bodies that we're going to go through. No doubt, that's a fact. But facts are subject to change. Principles remain the same. And the word of God is principles. There are principles we could stand on. There are principles we could live with. There are principles that we could speak to and operate in our lives. We can't just read the word and it just become knowledge-based. If we're not applying the word, then it's just a bunch of knowledge. And if you just got a bunch of knowledge but you're not applying it, it's nothing. But if you get the knowledge, you apply it, then that becomes wisdom. And then you can operate in wisdom. And so I'm going to give you some scriptures for those who may be going through this season. And I'm going to give you some scriptures that you could take and you could read through and meditate on and get in a quiet place, even in your depression, even in your SAD, even in all whatever, that you could get somewhere and you could get these scriptures in your spirit and hold on to them. And one of the things I want you to know, especially if you're a believer, this is a thing I want to encourage you, that if you're a believer and you believe that Christ died and rose for us, if you believe that this Bible is the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, if you believe that, if you believe that this world was formed from the beginning by the Word that He spoke, if you believe that He watches over His Word to perform it and that it shall not return unto Him void, I'm going to challenge you for 2017 to begin to truly stand on the Word of God and truly with expectation. I want you with expectation to expect God to perform His Word, that it does not return unto Him void. Now, in order to have that kind of expectation, you have to have relationship with Him. You have to spend time with Him, because He says, if you abide in Me and My Word abide in you, you can ask what you will and it be given. And because He tells me that, I expect when I go to God in prayer and I'm praying His Word, I'm not praying, oh, God, give me this and God, give me that. I'm praying God's Word back to Him, because He said He watches over it to perform it. So if you believe that, then these scriptures I'm going to give you tonight, you hold on to them. And when these seasons come and these tough times come and you're trying to make it through and somebody tell you, oh, I'll keep you in prayer, or somebody tell you, you're stronger than that, you're supposed to be able to get past this, or somebody tells you something that ain't helping you, you got a Father who's giving you His Word, and He's saying He wants to perform it. He don't want it to turn back to Him void. Hold on to that Word and stand on it, because I'm telling you, it has not been a time that I've stood on the Word of God on a situation in my life and seen that thing manifest. I'm not talking about tonight's show because I'm a stranger. I'm talking about tonight's show because for years I dealt with depression. I didn't claim SAD. I didn't even know what SAD was. I wouldn't even speak the word depression because I was taught don't speak no words like that. Don't speak that kind of stuff. But I'm calling it what it was. And I dealt with this for many years as an adult, a young adult, and I didn't understand why. So I allowed it to take me hostage, emotional hostage. I allowed this thing. And then it took me, my relationship with God, my vertical relationship, my growing, my maturing in the things of God, that began to transform me and transform my life as it pertains to this. And I still struggle with it from time to time, but I'm now understanding what's going on. I'm now understanding that it was really never about Christmas, that what I was going through during this season had more to do with just the natural inclination of my body as it pertained to the winter months. And then it had to do with, do with the finances and the obligation and so forth. But there's some just natural things we go through in our bodies. And so when I started to understand that, things are beginning to shift for me. So the first scripture I want to give you on tonight is John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. So He's sharing all this with us tonight, even though you hear it through the voice of Coach JD, even though you hear it through the voice of Coach Denise. This is the Holy Spirit that's sharing these things with you, because somebody needs to hear this. Tonight's message has possibly saved somebody's life and has changed their perception about what the holiday season is. And now they could go forward and be able to deal with it much better. So in John 16, it's telling us, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, Christmas, Easter, New Year's, Mother's Day, SAD, depression, anxiety, it says neither nor anything else in all creation, and I just named all those things, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what you've been through, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. So know that. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. Do not be depressed. Do not be anxious. Do not be sad, for he is with us. For I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So he's telling us he's with us. Don't fear. And Philippians, last one, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, which tells us, finally, this is the end of the show, and it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And if that's not enough to bring some joy and some peace to our hearts, to know that he's with us, nothing can separate us from his love, that he is there for us. And I do have a couple of callers, so I'm going to go ahead and take that. Caller, area code 310, your last four is 4336. Welcome to Processing the Pain.
Oh, B.
Yes.
Hey, this is 310. I was just letting you know I was listening in, dear. I enjoy your show.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you for tuning in, and hopefully the show was a blessing for you this evening.
Yes, all the time. Every time I listen in, dear, I really get a lot out of it, and I appreciate you doing what you do.
Thank you so much. And thank you for tuning in, and thank you for your support. I appreciate that, too.
All right, dear.
Amen.
Take care. Okay.
You, too. And I think we have another caller. Let me just check really quick here. Caller, area code 432. Last four, 0205. Okay. So we want to thank you all for tuning in on tonight's episode of Processing the Pain, Healing for the Holidays. I pray that something was said on tonight that has just given you the hope that you need to get through the holidays and be able to look at things differently, that you've had a paradigm shift, that you're seeing things totally different now than you've seen before. My prayer, and I'm praying that you will have a breakthrough. We bind the spirits that of depression and anxiety and all this stuff that has a tendency to attack us. I bind those spirits right now in the name of Jesus, and I pray right now that the Word of God will manifest itself in your life, that you will meditate on the Word of God, that you will spend vertical time speaking to your Father and letting your Father speak into you. Vertical, that's up and down, that's you and God, nobody else, just you and God, and let God begin to pour into you his Spirit, because as he begins to pour his Spirit into you and he pours his Word into you, I tell you, the things on horizontally, all the things on the outside, they'll begin to line up. It'll begin to make sense. Some of you might find that Christmas is not even a holiday you're going to celebrate anymore. Just saying. You know, you never know. Whatever it is that he reveals to you, then let it be revealed and embrace it. And that's what I'm going to do this season. I'm going to embrace this season. I'm going to embrace it because it's symbolic for the birth of my Savior. I'm going to embrace it because it's a time that I come together with my family and my loved ones and friends, and we celebrate each other. We laugh and we talk and we have fun time and fellowship and eating and all that. And I'm going to also just be able to embrace that I'll do what I can do, and what I can't do, I won't worry about it. So I won't go into this holiday with that attitude or spirit of feeling obligated to do gift giving. I will do what I can, and what I can't do, I won't worry about it. And I pray the same for you. So again, we thank you for tuning in on tonight. Please join us next week.
Amen.
As we get prepared to go into the new year. Coach JD, do you have anything you want to say in closing?
I do. I would like to invite everyone to our Vertical Leap coming up. Is that possible? May I do that real quick? Is that possible?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I know Coach D and I, we were talking about being stressed and, you know, the acronym for SAD and these holidays. And you got the new year coming out, and everybody for New Year's always does what? They make a New Year's resolution that by the time they get to January 1st of next year, they figure out, I didn't do half the resolutions that I said I wanted to do. Well, what we're doing at Vertical Leap, we're having our first Vertical Leap of the year. We're probably only going to do this four times this year in California. You want to make a real resolution. And what's that resolution? Is that you want to birth out your God-given dreams, visions, and ideas. You want to birth out the whole reason of why. What is the whole reason of why? Your whole reason of why are you here on this earth? Why do you have breath in your lungs? Why is your heart beating? Why is the blood pumping through your veins? Why? Why are you here? If you have not figured that out yet, or even if you have, but you still need a great push, I encourage you. I'm going to say it one more time. I encourage you to come to our Vertical Leap. That's Al and Hattie Hollingsworth's Vertical Leap. That is happening January 14th and the 15th. That's going to be the second weekend of January. Let me say it again because I really want you to really write this down. If you grab a scrap piece of paper so you can write this down. It's January 14th and January 15th, 2017. On Saturday, which is January 14th, it starts at 9:30 a.m. and will be ending at 7:30 p.m. So you still have the rest of your Saturday night to enjoy yourself and reflect on what the Most High gave you at the seminar. Then Sunday, you still have time to go to church because we're starting on Sunday, January 15th, 2017, at 2 p.m. And that's going to go until 7:30 p.m. So you still have the rest of your Sunday. We guarantee you, I guarantee you that your life will be changed. I guarantee that you will. If you really work the principles, because that's the problem. A lot of people, they want advice. They want you to tell them like you were doing, Coach D. They want you to tell me the answer, and we can give you the answer. But until you apply the answer, it'll never work. Just like the word. You know, God has given you his word. But until you apply his word, it won't work. So I encourage you, come to Vertical Leap to learn how to birth out your God-given dreams, visions, and ideas. We're using, all of you that have never been to Vertical Leap, we're using scripture and practical. We're just making the scripture practical for you. Let me give you the number for it. The number that you want to call is 909-861-3846. Once again, that is 909-861-3846, and you want to dial the extension 3. That'll get you to the operator, and all you need to do is give her your name and also give her your email so that she can get you signed up. Now, seats are booking up really fast because we're only having it four times a year. People are trying to come in all over, from all over just to get to Vertical Leap. So we encourage you, if you do want to come, please, 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 RSVP and get your seat so that you can come and have a life-changing experience to start your new life off. Not just your new year. No. Start your new life off. You are being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now is the time for us to have the mind of Christ, Let's stop talking about we Christians and let's start living for him. And that's what I have. Thank you so much, Coach D.
Well, thank you, Coach JD. And I approve that message. If you have never experienced a vertical leap before, I tell you, you want to experience it. Anybody that know me, if you've been following the shows or you know me personally, if you have not experienced the vertical leap, I tell you, you want to experience it. Now, I want to share this with you as well. Vertical Leap is a global adult leadership program. They also have a global youth leadership program called Boss Building on Spiritual Substance. And I'm going to tell you something. It's global. It's all over the world. Africa, Indonesia, UK, Switzerland. I mean, it's all over the world in different languages. But let me tell you what happens with U.S. Step always start here first, and we don't embrace it. We don't embrace it, and then it's taken over to foreign lands. And foreign lands take it, they embrace it, they suck it up, and they grow from it. They thrive from it. And then we
Come on, Coach D, we get it
at the end. We want to embrace it at the end, you know. And then once we, you know, we want to embrace it once it's already saturated. And so I'm telling you, Vertical Leap used to be every month, the second weekend of every month. That went on for years. And here in the U.S., they couldn't embrace it. They couldn't support it. They couldn't do it. You know, but I'm telling you, now it's only going to four times a year. In January will be the last Vertical Leap that is guaranteed here in Southern California, and then it's going on the road. It's going to be it's the Vertical Leap Tour, and it's going to be hitting cities. From the East Coast to the West Coast, and everything in between is going to be moving. So the next chance, don't wait till you have to buy a $400 plane ticket to go take the leap in Detroit. You better try to take the leap while it's here local. Amen.
Amen. So, you know what, Coach?
I don't want to keep people any longer. We've been on for a while. I thank you, my brother. Thank you for guest hosting with me on tonight. I thank you for the words of wisdom that you spoke and to our audience. I thank our audience for their continued support of Processing the Pain. Please share Processing the Pain with others and let them know that they could tune in every Thursday at 7 p.m. I'm excited about 2017 for MCD Network for Processing the Pain and Woman to Woman. I know that I have some great guests starting next year. I mean, just powerhouses. And I'm just excited what God is doing. So anyway, we love you. We appreciate you. Merry Christmas to all of you. And we will see you next week before New Year's. Take care.
Amen.